Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Are you blessed this morning? Yes. We know we serve a God who's overcome death, hell, and the grave for you and for me. And we live in that victory this morning. Whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Church, we are free to worship the Lord. We are free to declare what blessings we have in Christ, and we are free to love each other as Christ has loved us. So this morning, let's love the Lord in our worship. Let's love Him in every aspect of our lives. Lord, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Lord, as the angels in your throne, Lord, they encircle you. And they proclaim your holiness. Lord, we look at you with splendor, understanding who you are. Lord, we step out in faith to apprehend the perfection in you, that perfection you sent forth in your Son, that when we believe in him, Lord, we have that eternal life. Lord, we thank you for your blessings, for your love, even when things are going bad. Even in trial and tribulation, Lord, you are the comfort in our storm. Lord, you are our peace in this chaotic world. You are the one who has first loved us. That's why we love you. Lord, receive our worship this morning. Open our hearts and open our ears to your word. Lord, and bless everyone here this morning and comfort them and show them who you are. Lord, we rejoice in you. And let your spirit come among us to show us the comfort of the Lord. In your precious and holy name, we proclaim, amen. It's great to have you in the house of the Lord. If this is your first time, we welcome you. And as we say, if you come once, you have to come again. And if you don't, we'll come get you. Amen. We have the technology. We know where you live, and we will send our greetings to you. I can't say that. Okay, that's top secret. Forget I said that. Well, it's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We truly hope you feel the love of the Lord here, because knowing that this church is just an extension of God's kingdom and his love, and we are here because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. He bore our sins. He took our pain. He took our shame. He took the suffering of a broken world, put it upon himself, and delivered us when we put our faith in him. So this morning, I want to talk about comfort in the storm. How many of us have been through a trial and tribulation in our lives? Amen? It's kind of a dumb question, right? We all have. And it's at times, it's hard to understand. Why are we going through this suffering? Why is this happening to me? Why would God allow this to happen? Those are all questions that have an answer in God's word. How many of us have heard this phrase, God will not give us more than we can handle? Yeah, right? We've all fallen for that, right? But that's not what the scripture says. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the opposite. And I want you to put this in your notes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Paul says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despised of life itself. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. Church, when we fully grasp and understand this, that we're going to go through trials and tribulations, be put under pressure beyond our own ability to endure and understand, and it's to bring us into an understanding of who God is in our lives, it creates in us a space to grow, mature, and walk with him in the storm. If God was only in the comfort and we're only seeking the comfort, then there is no growth. If we only got what we wanted, if you got everything you thought you needed and deserved, what a life would that be? There'd be no growth. There'd be no understanding and no spiritual maturity in our lives. There'd be no roots, no understanding, no strength. Church, because through the suffering and through the storm, we're called to grow with Him and rely on Him. And when we fully grasp and understand that He is for us and not against us, He is with us in those difficult times, not far, but right there, then we can truly grow and mature through all seasons of life. So this morning, I want to look at understanding suffering and look at the scripture to fully grasp and understand. So when we go through difficult times, we understand that God is with us. He's maturing us, breaking us down. Because it's not that God wants us to go through all these difficult times, but He uses it for His glory and for His purpose in our lives. Because we live in a fallen world that has fallen short of the glory of God, but Jesus Christ has come into this world to give us hope and an understanding of that hope. So let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 16 through 18. Are you with me this morning? Amen. So let's understand suffering, define it, understand it, and apply it to our lives. The Spirit Himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God, amen, through Christ. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Through the blood of Jesus, we've been brought back into the family of God, the Beta Ub, the household of God. We were estranged. We were enemies of God before Christ. But when Jesus came, shed His blood, those who believe in Him have been brought back into the family, brought back into the rights of the household of the Father. And now we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. And wouldn't it be great if it stopped there? All right, let's go home. You know, we don't have to learn anymore. But Paul goes on. He states this word, if, which creates a condition. And that condition is that God has sent forth His Son to suffer. And then, as Paul goes on, it says, indeed, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. See, this is the uncomfortable part of the scripture, because Paul says also in his writings that we're called not only to believe in Him, but to suffer for His sake. And we have this word in church that we often avoid, and that word is suffer. But we're going to suffer in this world no matter what. We're going to suffer with Christ or without Christ. But with the Lord, He promises it to work it for our good in His good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, put this in your notes. And Paul says, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. There's a promise there in the suffering. And there is a glory. That means sharing in Christ's glory, being glorified together with Him in His peace, in His redemption, in His righteousness, in His standing with God, is being glorified together with Him. Verse 18, he goes on to say, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Where? In us. So as we walk through the fire, the fire doesn't consume us, it reveals more of Christ in us. God will never require you to do something without faith. Amen? We're saved by faith. Paul says, the life I now live, I live by what? faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This whole life is about trusting in the character of God, in the good and the bad. We're not just chasing the good times. We're not just chasing when things are easy. We're not just seeking to always be in the state of comfort. We're seeking to go in the valley, in the suffering, in the trial, in the tribulation to see who God is. Because it's in the suffering, it's in the trial, it's where I cannot figure it out. It's where God reveals himself to be who he is. And once I see that, I never doubt again. But when I put my faith in my own ability, my own strength, I will fall short every single time. We're not smart enough. We're not strong enough. We don't have the ability to save and redeem ourselves. We need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, Peter says, "But may God of all grace, who called us in his eternal glory," there's that word glory again, "by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." I remember when we first started this journey to ministry, to get to this place, it was difficult, it was hard. And we weren't prepared for that. How could you be? Then I remember going to listen to these well-established teachers and preachers, evangelists at the time, because we were searching, we were hungry. And I remember going to this big event, this teacher, preacher was teaching and having this big service. And what we heard contradicted God's plan for our life, because what we heard in that service was, if it's difficult and it's tough, it's not God. And it kind of shook us, because we were like, well, I thought I was called. He confirmed it. He anointed me. We have this fire and passion, but yet we're hearing, because it's hard and difficult, and we're going through this trial and tribulation, and we don't know what to do. We're just standing moment by moment with the Lord, that now we're hearing it's not of God. What the Lord was doing, he was purging us of wrong perspective and wrong teaching to see the truth in his word. Because if we go to his word, he shows us the purpose of suffering, the resistance we have, and that we should keep moving forward with endurance and understanding. And a great example of this is John chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. I always encourage you, go back and read around the context of this, to get the context of this. And I love this example. It says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" Isn't that the mentality of the world, right? Even us, of some of the church, saying, you're going through something, you're suffering, you're going through a difficult time. What did you do? Job, we know that Job did not deserve the suffering he endured, because the scripture says he was a righteous man in the eyes of God, but suffering found him, and his friends came to him and said, "Job, what did you do?" And it wasn't anything Job did. It was what God was doing through him. And we see here, verse 3, Jesus answered. He says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." That man was born blind. So in that moment, in that time, Jesus would walk by, heal him, and that man is forever tied to Jesus and glorified with him in his suffering. In his blindness, the Lord revealed who he was in that situation. Church, God wants to reveal himself in our hardship, our trial, our tribulation, through the highs and through the lows. The mountaintop is great, but you don't camp on the mountaintop. You descend down back into the valley to go up the next mountain. So church, let's understand the purpose of our suffering. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. If anyone understood suffering, it was Paul, right? If you look at Paul's life, he suffered greatly. He was told in his calling that he would suffer a lot. Now, I don't know about you, first of all, Paul encountered Jesus on that road, was blind, did not eat or drink for 3 days. Then a prophet came to him, spoke into his life, and said, "You will suffer many things." So a part of this suffering, he grew in understanding. Now, because of his suffering, he grew in wisdom, and now we are reading his letters inspired by the Holy Spirit. So Paul was talking about the thorn in his flesh that he asked the Lord 3 times to remove. How many of us have asked the Lord to remove something from our lives that he has not removed? Amen? And this was the Lord's response. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So the Lord brings you to a point of weakness to show you his strength, and it's made perfect in weakness. A lot of times we think that the stronger we are, the more understanding we have, the greater we are, that is God's power. But it's the opposite. He always brings us to a point of weakness so his strength can be seen. Do you really think David could have beat a giant on his own? Why did God pick David to defeat the giant that the whole army of Israel was afraid of? To show his glory, to show who he was. God's like, "I want to take this shepherd boy who doesn't have fear. He's going to step out into the battlefield and trust me, and I'm going to give him this giant to show everyone who I am." And that's what God wants to do for us. Then Paul says, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So how many of us this morning, when we're going through a trial and tribulation, we say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this. I didn't know life was going so great until everything started going wrong. Lord, thank you." Amen? You know, it seems the opposite, right? We're always praying to get out of it instead of enduring it. It took me a long time to understand that. I was running from God, but guess what? You can't run from God. You just wear yourself out. You keep going and going and going. Then you come back to the place and you're like, "Okay, I surrender." He wants us to rejoice when things go wrong, knowing that God has a plan. Whether it's in our finances, our relationships, marriage, our health, whatever it is, it's meant for something more than we can understand. He goes on to say, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sakes, for I am weak, then I am strong." So suffering, trials, and tribulations brings you to a point of weakness to reveal God's strength in you. When you are pushed beyond your emotional, physical limit, God steps in and takes you further than you could go yourself. But we would never have known that if we run a race that fits our comfort level. We're called to run the race that he is on, and that's a race of endurance, going through this world and knowing that he has a plan for us. So church, in our weakness, his strength is found, and his strength rests in our weakness. So let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. And let's look at how faith triumphs in our trouble. Verse 1, he says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So our peace with God is not about circumstances, about what Jesus did on the cross. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding, and that peace is available to you at all places, at all stages of life. No matter what you're going through, you can have this peace that is from above, not from this world, no matter what you're going through. It's a peace we call on. It's a peace we need. It's a gift of the Lord. Verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So church, how many of us enter into this throne of grace, this realm of holiness, the most holy place every single day? Do you realize you have access to God at any point, at any time you choose to by faith in Jesus Christ? You don't have to offer a sacrifice. You don't have to try to do good and be better. All you have to do is say, Father, and he says, I am here. The thing, the most holy place in which only the high priest could enter into once a year to offer a sacrifice for the atonement of the sins established in the law and the sacrifice of animals, we have access to every single day. Amen? The same spirit that rose Christ from the dead is in you. So why are we looking for the answers in every place but the place in which our peace and answers come from, which is the Lord? There's no self-help book written that will give you peace. There's only one book written that you need, and that is the Bible. Amen? It's going to save you a lot of time and heartache when we're not pursuing the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God. Because he's the only one we need. And he's the one that Christ has given us access to the Father. He goes on to say, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, endurance. So let's look at that word, perseverance. It means to endure, patiently wait under the weight of the trial, to remain faithful without giving up, staying under the pressure to remain under. How many of us can endure difficult, hard things and not run? Now, I was the first one wanting to run. I would have dreams. I'm running from something. I would always have that dream. I'm running from something. I don't even know what I'm running from or for. I'm always running. It was because I did not want or think I could endure what was in front of me. Church, God's never going to let you down. The giant is never going to kill you. You will never be disgraced by Jesus. You will never, ever taste defeat when you stand in faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Can we remain in the pressure cooker, in the fiery furnace for the glory of the Lord? Then he says, character. This is so important. To test or examine a character that has been established and proven reliable. Are we reliable to God? So when he calls us out, does he see our heart and our character that we are reliable to do what he's called us to do? Because in the fire, in the problem, in the hardship, in the hurt, in the pain, he's developing your character to make you a reflection of himself. The scripture says we're being conformed into his image. From glory to glory, we're being taken. The fruit of his spirit is flowing through us and out from us. Love, joy, peace, kindness, all of the fruit is for us to have and share. As a pastor, I've seen this many times. People are so on fire for the Lord, and they start helping and doing stuff in the church, outside the church, but then the fire comes. Then the trial comes. The pushback comes from the enemy, which always comes. And you see, I saw that over and over again, church. They ran, their heart turned to stone, and they became bitter. But the Lord wants to heal us. He wants to take us through the fire, because what purifies gold? The fiery furnace. We are refined by his fire, his perfect fire. And he wants us to have the character that comes from him. And lastly, hope. And hope is confident assurance. And Paul says, the hope that does not disappoint. Church, we should be so optimistic. It annoys the world. Amen? Because we have a hope in Christ, not in ourselves, but we have a hope in Christ Jesus. Because he will never let us down. He will never forsake us. And our hope is not in our building, our world, or what we can do or anyone can do for us. It is in the hope of Jesus Christ that he can do all things. All things are possible with him. And Paul ends this, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Churches, many of you here this morning, that you have great hurt, great pain from the people around you, the people who you trusted. Someone betrayed you, someone hurt you. You've been through trials and tribulations. You've been through things. And maybe your question to God is, why, Lord, did this happen? We may not be given that answer on this side of heaven, but what we can ask is, Lord, how can you turn this for your good? How can you use this to glorify yourself through me and in me to show a world that you are real? Church, he will turn your hurt into peace, into hope, into strength. Because as we read through the Bible, no one God used, man, woman, or child, was perfect, was blameless, faultless in their own ability. They all fell short of the glory of God. But in Jesus Christ, now we have a hope that surpasses all understanding. So he is our comfort, and he turns our pain into something glorious and perfect before him and the Father. And one day, church, one day, a day is coming when all pain, all suffering, everything ends. No more crying, no more tears, no more heartache. But until that day comes, he will turn our heartache, our pain, into a testimony of who he is, if we will let him. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, you are the comfort in our storm. Lord, you are the comfort in our lives. Lord, everyone that's here this morning, Lord, you love them so much that you sent forth your son as a sacrifice to die for them. Lord, we can never understate that powerful proclamation of salvation. Our hope is not in anything else but in you. Our strength comes from you. And Lord, as David stepped onto that battlefield, in his own strength, Lord, he would have met certain death. But in you, he defeated the giant that we're still talking about thousands of years later. Lord, we all have the giant before us. An army didn't defeat the giant. It was a shepherd boy. But you in the shepherd boy. Lord, you are in us. And let us face the obstacles and the storms and the trials and tribulations with confidence, knowing that you are with us, you're bringing us out of it, and you will turn what was bad into good. As Paul said, that they distressed for their own life, but they relied on you. Lord, we rely on you this morning, because you are our only hope. In your precious and holy name, amen and amen. Amen. Church, he is our peace. He is the light, and He is guiding us through this life. Whatever you're going through, whatever you have gone through, Jesus has the answer and is found in Himself, found in the Word, in the Holy Spirit in you. So church, rejoice, because He has overcome the world. And when we believe in Him, we overcome with Him. Church, I invite you to stay for the baptism, and I invite you to stay for our family fun day. We just want to bless you. We just want you to know how much we love you here at The Way. So have a blessed rest of your day. Hope to talk to you as we fellowship in the Lord.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.